We warmly welcome each of you to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this first Sunday in Advent. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We have entered the Advent season, those four Sundays preceding Christmas, where God prepared our hearts to understand better why Jesus Christ came to earth. We hope that you will continue to listen to our program. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we return our thanks to you that you came to this earth. We pray today and every Sunday in this Advent season that we'll have a better understanding of why you did come and how much you do love us. Speak to us then through your inspired word today, that our spirits may be lifted and we may know that in Jesus Christ we have a Savior for all eternity. Hear our prayer, which we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. During the Advent season, we will center our thoughts on four people who are a part of Jesus' earthly family. Today we are going to study the life of Ruth, one of Jesus' great-great-great-grandmas. I read first from his genealogy in Matthew 1, beginning with verse 5. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David. Now you note there that Ruth is mentioned as one of those people in the genealogy or the family of our Lord Jesus while he walked on this earth. Now we turn to the first chapter of the book of Ruth, beginning with verse 16, and read those immortal words that we have heard so often. But Ruth replied, "Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, I have been in the ministry for 52 years, and unless my memory fails me, this is the first time that I have preached a sermon from the genealogy of Jesus as recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew. Being a lover of history and biographies, these verses have interested me for a long time, but I have feared that they would be uninteresting to most of the congregation. Therefore, I have shied away from them as far as it being a sermon text. But during this Advent season, I am going to live dangerously and preach four sermons on Matthew 1, and I have two reasons. Number one, to point out that our Christian faith is rooted in history. Myron Augsburger, a theologian of the Mennonite Church, says that when he was on a preaching tour in India, he became acquainted with a young man who had come to Christ by reading the genealogy. When the young man was asked, "How did this happen? How did you ever find Christ in a portion of scripture like that?" he replied, "For the first time, I have found a religion which is rooted in history. All of the other religions that I have been acquainted with, like Buddhism and Hinduism, have come from mythology, but not Christianity. It is rooted in history." The second reason that I'd like to preach on these texts is that we can note our Lord Jesus' human family was made up of the prominent and the insignificant. the faithful, and the unfaithful. Each one of his family stood in need of God's grace. But it was through this family God entered the world through a man by the name of Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth. Because Jewish people are very proud of their family roots, and that's a great strength for these people, I wonder if Jesus might not have mentioned some of these ancestors when helping his disciples come to an understanding of what his mission was on this earth. I could well imagine that one day he was describing a person by the name of Martha. And he could have said to them, you know, one day when I was visiting with Mary and Martha, the two girls got into a real argument. In other words, Martha was disgusted with Mary. I'd come to visit with the two women and their brother Lazarus. And when I got into the house, Mary just sat down and listened to every word that I was talking about. But Martha, inclined as she was, went out into the kitchen, and she began to prepare the meal until she was finally irritated. And she came to me and said, Lord, tell my sister Mary to come out in the kitchen and help me in order that we might get this meal served and then that we might all sit down and visit together. It was at that time that I had to say to Martha, 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 you are troubled about so many things, but Mary has chosen the good thing, and it shall not be taken away from her. Take off your apron, come and sit down with us, and we will talk about matters that are far more important than anything that would be found in food. So Martha came. She was a nervous person, Jesus could have said to those disciples. She kind of reminds me of my great-great-great-great-grandma who bore the name of Ruth, and especially Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi. I tell you, they were nervous people. And so I have that story. And then he probably would have gone on to say, you know, the genealogy that I carry around with me mentions Ruth. It says that Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. And Obed was a very important person in the genealogy, for he was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, and that is the king of Israel, one of God's great people. So here is a story of Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi was married to a man by the name of Elimelech, and they lived in Bethlehem with two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Now, they had a rather tough time there because there was a famine going on, and so finally Elimelech decided that he was going to take his family and move to Moab. This move, I'm sure, made Naomi very, very nervous. After all, she was leaving her kin. She was going to what they called a heathen land, and things would not be right there as far as she was concerned. But Elimelech was insistent, and so they went. They had no more than got settled in Moab when Elimelech died. Now the next thing that happened was her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, went out and married Moabite girls. The one was named Orpah, and the other one Ruth. And that bothered me tremendously because I am faithful to my Jewish religion. And I know very well that in the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 3, it says that no Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord. Now, after they're married, my two sons die. So there I am in a strange land. I am a widow. My two sons have died. And all I have with me are two girls, wives to be sure, my daughter-in-laws, but not a part of my people. So Naomi decided that she was going to go home. She gathered Ruth and her other daughter-in-law by the name of Orpah and said, I'm going back to my people. But I don't think you should go. It doesn't make any sense at all. You know, I'm too old to be married and have another child, and therefore I cannot produce for you a man who would be your husband. And even if I could have a man, and even if I could bear a child, you would not want to wait that long. So you stay right here with your people in Moab, and I'll go on my way, and you make a life for yourself, and I'll go back and try to make a life for myself in Judah. And the girls thought that over, and finally one of them, Orpah, said, I think that I can go along with that. And so she and Naomi had a great embrace, and then Orpah went on her way to her people. But Ruth uttered these words, "Entreat me not to leave you, for where you go, I will go. And your God will be my God, and your people will be my people, and where you die, I will die." When Naomi heard those words, she had to stop trying to convince her to stay in Moab. But you know, there was bitterness in the soul of Naomi. She was a religious lady, but she was really hurt. She said again to Ruth, "Return home. Why would you come with me? I am too old to have another husband. No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." Now, here is a person who is a child of God, but don't you sense some bitterness there? Don't you sense that she's asking the same questions that many people ask today? Why did this have to happen to me? Why did I have to leave my homeland? Why did my two sons have to die? Why did my husband have to die? This has all been too difficult for me. In other words, she was very much like Martha. She was upset. She didn't know where to turn. There wasn't that inner peace in her heart. She just had to keep going all the time. There was no rest whatsoever. And then Ruth finally said, "No, I'm going to go with you." But that doesn't mean that Ruth did not have her anxious moments too. You can be sure that she would ask herself the question, "What will these Jewish people do to me when I get there and begin to work with them in the fields? Will I ever get married? Will I ever have a child? Will my life ever amount to anything?" And then I'm sure at night, when it was all quiet, she would wonder, "I wonder how my people are back in Moab." During the next few years, God showed both Naomi and Ruth that he could be trusted, and if they would trust him, all would go well. To summarize the story, perhaps you remember it well, Ruth married Boaz, and he was in a direct line of all of the ancestors of our Lord Jesus. Boaz and Ruth had a child, and they named the child Obed, father of Jesse, who was the father of David, and the king, one of Jesus' direct relatives. Oh, then came the day when the sun shined in Naomi's life, because she began to understand the faithfulness of God, that even though her sons had been taken, even though her husband had died, God had not forgotten her. He was still with her. The day came when the neighbors said, "Yes, Naomi, you have been blessed, for Ruth has borne a child, and here is a child." And the scriptures say that they put the child in Naomi's lap, and she loved the child. Now she understood there was someone to carry on the lineage. There was still a part in the family for her offspring. And then I think that Jesus could have had this conversation with the disciples and said, "Well, we have seen Martha. She was a nervous individual. Just reminds me of Aunt Ruth, and it reminds me of Grandma Naomi, or whatever their relations might have been. My family. My family needed me to come. And that's why I came, to assure them of one great thing, and that was that they could trust me. That's why I came. I can be trusted, and only by trusting me can people have perfect peace, a peace which passes all understanding. The problems, my friend, and the hurts of life may be very severe, but Jesus has promised to be with us. I know of no time in the year when emotions run higher than at Christmas. And so I think of this in the preparation for the Advent season. I wonder if there are not some whose hearts are really hurting. Maybe this is the first year that you have been without a loved one, a spouse, a child, a parent, a very dear friend. Oh, I can think back over many of my friends. I think of the one that I met just a few days ago. He was a jolly person, and I hadn't seen him for some time, but when I looked at him, I knew that there was something wrong. And I said to him, "What's happened, my friend?" "Oh," he said, "it's so terrible. It's so difficult. My wife was walking down the street one day. A car went through a red light, hit her, and killed her. 2 months ago now. I tell you, you'll never understand it until you've gone through it, what it is to lose one so dear to you." Now, the problems and the hurts of life are very severe. And they're just as severe in July as they are in December. But there's something about this time of the year, with all of the emotion, with the Christmas carols and all of that, that seems to touch the inner part of our being. I need someone to whom I can turn, someone who can help make sense of this whole mess, someone who can say, "I'm with you. You don't have to worry. You can trust me." You may not have the answer right away. You may not be able to tell people why it all happened, but is that so terribly important when we understand that one day God is going to reveal to us, as he did, I'm sure, to Martha, and I'm sure that he did to Ruth, and I'm sure that he did to Naomi, that everything is all right. Just trust me, and you will see. Don't be afraid. That's what the shepherds were told. The events of this night, the angels went on to say, are terrifying for you. But God is at work. Trust him. A Savior has been born. And we can join with the angels and sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all men, who has found favor with me." This is a message that came to Ruth and to Naomi. It is the Advent message which comes to us as we prepare now to celebrate the birth of our Savior. Why did he come? He came to bring us peace. And that he has promised us, and our Lord Jesus can be trusted. Amen.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that we enter the Christmas season with great anticipation. And yet we realize that there are those whose hearts are heavy as was Naomi's or Ruth's. And you brought them peace. Grant, O God, that in this Advent season, millions of people around the world may hear the gospel, and they may respond and trust Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Grant them peace, O God. And for those of us where life seems to go on, we ask that we will not be so involved in the mundane that we forget again that the real peace comes not in tinsel, but the real peace comes in knowing Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that you may find peace in your heart during this Advent season. For 64 years, Christian Crusaders has been faithful to our mission of providing a Sunday radio service of worship that proclaims Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world and as our personal Savior. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported by gifts from you, our listening family. We ask for your prayers for this ministry as well as your financial gifts, that the gospel may be heard by those who have not yet come to know their Savior, Jesus Christ. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.